With all that, being all said and done, let's get started here. Okay, so I feel like there are certain Rambans that I feel bad about doing all the time, but I also feel bad about not doing them. So here, we're going to try to incorporate the Ramban's Hakdamah to Shemos, but we're not going to start with it, and we're not going to focus on it. So if you look at the first one over here, Beis Chav Gimel. So here, Daniel, you mind if I have a look? Or Akiva. Whoever gets it first. It says Beis Chav Gimel. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to run away. He grew up. Okay, I'll use both at the same time. I'm just kidding, but you know, kind of. Yamaz Melech Mitzrayim. Okay. Fine. So is that right? That's not actually what I meant to read. Beis Chav Gimel. How could it be? Oh, okay. Oh, it is on that. And then it says, Moshe Eroes Son Yisro. Fine. Okay, over the course of that long time, again, just you have to really see the psukim in context to understand what's going on. But it says that Moshe Rabbeinu ran away, and he started living with Yisro and being his Roet Son. And then we have this interruption that over that time, there's a lot of Jewish people who are suffering for a long time. And then it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu and the whole Maisa with the Sneh. Okay, fine. So it says over here, Vahi bayamim harab maim, over the course of those many days, lo yomar bayamim haheim, vayam hahu, rak al hazman haomed, asher yaskir hama'orebo. We'll only say bayam haheim in those days, or bayamu in that time, on a time where it's connecting with the event that we're mentioning that it happened then. Aval la'achar ha'es, meaning if we say that, if we're relating to something that happened previously, yomar vahi achrichin, it happened afterwards. Va'roi bekanchi omer va'hi acharei yomim rabim va'yamas melech mitzrayim. The psukim say that the Paro died, and then the new melech made the shibud even worse. So it should have said after that, meaning after the king died. So then this new thing happened. Okay. Alkein amru rabosenu ki lefisha yomim shel tzar kori osam rabim. So we're saying va'hi ba'yamim harabim ahim. It's not talking about that something happened in the past. It's saying the days felt so unbearable. They seemed like they were taking forever because they were so intense. V'yirmos l'zman ha'u. Okay. V'chein amru pasuk sh'amr l'malav imam ha'im ba'igdal Moshe. Sh'agadal sh'loke derach ha'olam klomar v'zman echad b'meheira. Fine. Okay. Let's go to the next paragraph. Ulefi daiti. Okay. What is the pasuk saying v'yirmos l'zman ha'im? Kitam ha'kasev v'zeh yirmos al ha'yamim sh'ay Moshe boreach m'nei paro. Lefi daiti, says the Ramban, yamim harabim ha'im is not referring to the Jewish people suffering. According to Chazal, it was so long because they were suffering so intensely. But says Ramban, no, it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Over the course of those many, many days when he was away from Mitzrayim. Shei Moshe Barach, Nei Paro, Ki Be'emes Bin Urav Barach. He ran away when he was young, maybe a teenager. Shakasav Amar Vayigdal Moshe Bayite Elachav. It says he grew up and he was old enough to kind of go out. He was old enough to kind of, you know, get in a fight with somebody. So he wasn't six, but he also wasn't 30. It says as soon as he was becoming mature and able to understand what's going on, they said that you actually are not part of us, you're part of them. And he felt this identification with the Jewish people. What's that? Ah, he's very good, very good. Now that you're saying it, I realize it, but I didn't pick up on it. Because this one actually just fits so smoothly. Like, it's not even poetic. It just, just fits. V'nechsaf liro sablus echa v'amal v'lachatzam. And he had a certain desire to identify, to see their suffering. Uvayamahu shiyatza hikes amitri. And that, I don't know if it means literally the first day, but as he, maybe it does mean the first day. When he went out and saw what was going on, and he attacked the mitri. Uvayom hasheni hil shinu ala v'barach. And that second day, he was tattled on, and he was scared for his life, and he had to run away. He was not even bar mitzvah yet, approximately, right, when all this happened. Like it says in the Medrash. He wasn't 20. He was teenager age. And then when he comes back to Paro, he's 80 years old. Okay, so imagine somebody your age or less. And that's like episode A in his life. And episode B, you're 80 years old. Okay, imkein amar kemo shishim shana borech m'lefnei paro. He was away for about 60. When the Ramban says about 60, it means more than 60, maybe even close to 70. But he was away for, let's say, somewhere between 62 to 68 years of his life. Vakarov. So that's why it says vahi ba yamim harabim haheim. It's not talking about the intensity of the shibud, which might also be true. It's talking about the fact you have this whole part of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, the majority of his life, literally the majority of his life, that is happening in those four words. V'akarov ki b'sof hazman b'olim midyan v'nasa tzipor. Also, just in terms of trying to like piece together his life, it would seem, just based on pshat, that he only got to Midian and married Tzipora towards the end of that process. Why? Kikishaya lo hadibur hazeh, when he was contacted, when he first communicated with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when it's saying Bahibam Haram Mahim, Adayin lo holy nimena rak benu habachor gershom. We only know that he had one son. All we know is that he was running away, he was at a well, and he saw these girls, and he tried to protect them. To tell us that there's nothing else that happened that's really relevant for us to know. And which makes sense. When a person's running away, he doesn't want the king to see where he is. He's not going to stay in any one place. All right. He's going to keep on going from place to place until he gets far away enough, until he gets to Mexico or South America or something like that, or Midian. So he was going over many days, hiding, and misnaker, I think, means like acting as a nafri, meaning acting as somebody like somebody who's a foreigner, like trying to be undercover, not look mitzri like. But it failed. It's true. But he didn't get actually identified by Paro. But so Vazman, you're correct though. But in Midian, Vinis Akiv, and eventually he kind of like got tired of running or figured he was safe and stayed in Midian. Vezetam Vayesha Be'eretz Midian. That's why he says he lived in Midian. If it means like he's been there for the past 60 whatever years, it shows that he went there and he settled there. It's saying that he was going temporarily from place to place, from town to town, until eventually until finally he settled down in Midian after the whole long process. And since we know two episodes, he ran away from Paro and now he's living in Midian. And they were about to tell us how he was returned to, Hashem told him to return to Mitzrayim and to start the whole process of the Geula. And the simple reading is that this is all like happening over the course of 6 months or something. Not 6 months, he had a kid, but 2 years, whatever. 1 year. The Torah is giving us the hint in these four words. Actually, this is about 65 years or so. Moshe was running from Paro. Omid b'midyan mehem. I'm not sure, what does mehem mean? He ran away and he's living in Midian. At the end of those 60 whatever years, the king eventually dies. And he had the Gilui Shechina. And he returned back. Therefore, it doesn't say after many years. That would imply he lived in Midian, and then many years later, he was told to go back to Mitzrayim. And you think it's relating to what happened earlier. Something happened, he came to Midian, and then many days passed. So the pasuk is telling us, no, many days passed, and then eventually he gets to Midian, and then eventually, and soon afterwards he's told to go back. It's an interesting Ramban, in terms of just figuring out the pshat. What strikes me about this Ramban is just the yisod behind it, that the majority of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, we don't know, bichlal, and we only know that it happened, meaning that we're missing 60 whatever years because of four words. That's incredible. Moshe Rabbeinu's life, we just don't know what happened. And says Ramban, because it's not really relevant. There's no, why do we need to mention it? He was living his life.
Like the first half of Avram's life.
Mistami is a very holy person. Mistami, he's davening, he's doing chesed, he's whatever a person has to be Oved Hashem before Matan Torah, but that's not relevant. We don't have to know this. So I thought this is an interesting contrast with the following Ramban.
There's a medrash.
Yeah, please, yeah.
Moshe being the king of Kush.
Yeah. There is a medrash. I thought the Ramban quotes it, but maybe not here. Hachanami. There's this medrash that he like, and that's the like Kiyusha Kushi Slakah. That was a princess of Kush, and he was the king of Kush. Yeah, I'm no expert in those.
Maybe I'll share it a different time.
He was the prince of Ethiopia, not the prince of Egypt.
Yeah.
So Hishlim Hakasuv Sefer Bereishis. Okay, look at sorry, next Ramban. Okay, I want to contrast this Ramban with the Ramban in the Hakdama. This is I'm kind of sneaking in the Ramban in the Hakdama because cannot do the Ramban in the Hakdama. Hishlim Hakasuv. I'll read slowly for a few sentences until people can catch up with me. Hishlim Hakasuv Sefer Bereishis. We've completed Sefer Bereishis. So Sefer Hayitzira, about the creation, b'chidush ha'olam, that the world was created from nothing, v'yitziras kol notzar, and everything in the universe was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uv'mikre ha'avos, and also what happened to the avos, shem ke'inin yitzira lizarom. It's also Sefer Yitzira, even in regards to the stories of the avos, because the Ramban's yisod is ma'isa avos simin lebanim. That somehow this is like they were like the embryonic state of the entire Jewish people. What's happening to them is influencing the future for the Jewish people. Because everything that's happening to them is a certain allegory, is a certain mashal for what's going to happen to their kids. We finished the idea of the creation. If you want to maybe say it in a word, it's Sefer Bereishis is preparation, meaning Hashem made everything in the universe to be prepared for what's going to happen over the course of history. And now we're getting into the actual history of the Jewish people. Now we're talking about the actual tachlis of this Am. And Sefer Shemos is talking about that first galus that was declared, right? Decreed in Brisbane of Masarim. And therefore, we have at the beginning of Shemos the names of Yordei Mitzrayim and the different numbers for the different families. We already know this 2 parashos ago. Because when they're coming down, that's the beginning of the galus, because then it began. Or the lesson of Chilul, I'm not sure. And this galus will only be completed once they return. The galus here is spiritual. The Iker is not physical. The physical, she would begin only much later, after the Melech Mitzrayim died. But the beginning of galus means they've left Eretz Canaan. They've come to Mitzrayim, the place of Tumah. And therefore, little by little, they're wearing away at their Ruchnius. And the idea of Geula will only be when they get back to the Ma'ala of the Avos. And even once they leave physically the Shibud, they're not considered to be redeemed until they get to Ma'amad Har Sinai and get the Torah and have a Shras HaShchina in the Mishkan. Until they get back to the level of their forefathers, which is the yisod of there's this HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence upon their tents, meaning Hashem is in this physical world. Bemim HaMerkava, they're the chariot, the receptacle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Vaz Nechshavu Geulim Nechinishem Sefer Hazeh Beishlimo Inyan HaMishkan Uviyos Kvod Hashem Malei Oso Tamid. And therefore, the conclusion of the Sefer of Shemos is the idea of the Anon, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina filling the Mishkan. That is the appropriate end of the Sefer, because it's beginning with the Galos and ending with the Geula, and those are the bookends of the Sefer, says the Ramban. Why in my mind was this Ramban at all connected with the Ramban about Moshe Rabbeinu's life? Because I think there's a certain contrast. Says the Ramban here in the Hakdama, we are repeating the names of the Shvatim and how many people came down. The Ramban says the Torah is not telling us facts or details or history, because we already know this. What the Torah is telling us is a message. In Sefer Bereishis, the point is that that's the preparation for the story. Meaning, there now you have the entire world was created, and then you have the idea of little by little, there's kind of this weeding out of the people who are really serving Hashem properly with the rest of humanity, and little by little, you eventually get down to Avram, and Avram has a son who's able to keep that, and he has a son who's able to keep that, and he has 12 sons who are able to keep that, and these people are the ones who are going to be able to kind of carry this message of Hashem in the world and serve Hashem properly, hopefully teach the rest of the world how to serve Hashem, get back to how we were at the beginning of history. But all that is telling us the preparation. You have the 70 people, they're now in Mitzrayim, and therefore we've set the stage for the idea of Hashem decided somehow, for some reason, you need to go to Galus and get out of it to be prepared really to be a proper Am. The Sefer Bereishis is about the end of the preparation, and Sefer Shemos is about the beginning of the actual story of being in Galus. It's the same exact details about 70 people going down to Mitzrayim. These are the names, these are their numbers. The Torah is repeating it because it's actually there for different purposes. The idea of at the end of Bereshit, it's the end of the preparation of the prerequisite of history. And in Shemos, it's the beginning of history. And therefore, we're repeating the same exact details, even though we know them. What the Ramban is saying is that the Torah can repeat details that we already know because the Torah is not history. The Torah has a message. And what the Ramban is saying by us, by Moshe Rabbeinu, is the Torah will leave out details because the Torah is not history. What the Ramban is saying to us, like Daniel said, but we don't know almost anything about Avraham Avinu's life until eventually we get to Lech Lecha. We don't know anything about his pre-adult, you know, until he got to adulthood. Also, by Moshe Rabbeinu, we're literally missing most of his life. We don't know what he did in that time. But says the Ramban, because that's not important. Okay, and I wanna see a couple more Rambans and then see maybe kind of what messages we have here. I think there's some important lessons here. But we're not going to read all this. Also, there's other Rambans. There's other Rambans that say this. But the Ramban makes this point again and again about the Torah is not giving us all the details of stories. Even stories it's talking about, it's not giving us all the details because it's not important. Look, for example, Shemos Perek Yud Pasuk Beis in Parshas Bo. His alalti be Mitzrayim. Well, which? There we go. Nice. Vayomer Hashem Moshe bo paro ki nichpalti as libo vazleva vadav laman shisi ososa ile bikirba. I'm going to give these miracles. Ulaman tezaver bo aznei mitchav emnichas sher alalti Mitzrayim vazlei sher santi vam yedatem ki ani Hashem. And the entire, your children throughout all of history, will be talking about how I, in modern Hebrew, his olel means to abuse. But I don't know what. But you're right. I think the Mefarshim say more along the lines of mock. I mean, the fact that I was able to treat them at my will, to do it with them as I wanted, and therefore it's going to show Hashem's koach in the entire world. So it's not about a specific mock, about the makos in general, but it's towards the end of the process. Okay, thank you. So it says every time it's alalti. Ki ani mitzachik bo, I'm mocking him. There you go. Shani machbed es libo v'osa nekamos bo. I force him to kind of refuse to let them go, and therefore I'm able to take this revenge and show the whole world how I HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can control the most dominant empire in the world. Kitam Yoshe b'shamayim Yisrak Hashem Yilag Lamo. Fine. Bine odir HaKadosh Baruch Hu ata. L'moshe makas ha'arbe. Okay, I guess in the Hemshech it's talking about arbe. Bishagido so the paro. You should know that Moshe Rabbeinu is given the next makkah of arbe. Kimatam ba'al paro, ki lo yomar lo klum. He's told to go to paro, but Moshe wasn't told what to say. So he was told what to say, just not written in the Torah. He's told to warn him about arbe. Baluniska rak bidivri Moshe al paro, and again, you have to look in the psukim because it's not making sense outside. But all you see, Hashem never tells Moshe that there's going to be a makkah of arbe, but you see Moshe telling paro there's a makkah of arbe, so it must be that Hashem told him there's a makkah of arbe. The Torah is talking in shorthand. V'chin kitzer l'mala l'makas habarad. Shesipar divrei Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Moshe also says by Barad, the Moshe was told, "Hisyatzev lefnei Paro ve'amarte lov." Go to Paro and tell him. V'lo iskir divrei Moshe al Paro klal. Doesn't actually tell Moshe, warning him about the Barad. Moshe perashti. V'siba zeh shlo yirtu la'aruch b'shneim. The reason is because it's just not necessary. We know there's a tzivui. We know he came to Paro. So misam, you could fill in the gaps. Upami katzer b'zeh pam b'zeh. Sometimes we'll be short in this area about the tzivui. Sometimes about the actual communication to Paro. Either way, uvedish Moshe rabar isi ulman tisaper be'oznei bincha odio kadosh baruch hu leMoshe ma maka yavi aleihem. V'kasav osa Moshe beremez lamata berbenina v'zemakas arbe. Fine. Okay, fine. The next Ramban says it as well. We're not going to read it. There's other Rambans who say this as well. By the month, the Ramban says this in many places. If you want, I could give you some Aram Mekomos if this interests you. But the Ramban says this consistently in a lot of places. The idea that sometimes to understand the story, you have to assume things are missing. A great example of that is in this week's Parsha when the Ramban is talking about when Moshe was told to leave Yisroel, to leave Midian and go back to Mitzrayim. Did he take Tzipora with him at the end? Did he not? And the Ramban has a whole back and forth, like what's going on? When did she? Because also it says in Yisro, Achar Shiluchea, that she was sent back to Yisro. She was sent back. So when did that happen? How did that happen? Why did that happen? At what point? The Ramban is trying to figure it out, trying to get some clues, but at the end of the day, it's not so clear. But that just shows because it's not relevant. It's just not relevant. It's not relevant to the story, and therefore we're not going to mention it. So a couple takeaways, I guess, from these Rambans put together. First of all, the most basic level, the first Ramban we started with, the idea that most of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, we don't know what happened. I mean, and Daniel's point about Avraham Avinu is absolutely correct, but to me what's even more striking here is that we know We know Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. We know his childhood. We know his adulthood. And it seems like the Torah is making it seem like Elu, this is all that happened. Like if you just read the Pesukim, you know, straight without thinking about it too much, the Raman says you think this is happening right after he got to Midian, it happened after he left Mitzrayim, after he left Mitzrayim. It's within a year or two. But the Torah is intentionally making it like it's not relevant. It doesn't make a difference. And I think that there's an important lesson here that to be a successful person in this world, Moshe Rabbeinu went onto the world stage and became the most important person in Jewish and world history starting when he's 80 years old. And it could be that never would have happened. It could be, you know, if for whatever reason he would have been, I don't know, maybe this is not true, but he would have been in a different time, so he wouldn't have been the right person in the right time. Maybe in some other time he would have had a different tafkid. But we don't decide what kind of hashpah we're going to have on the world. We just don't. Sometimes people are big, in the public eye and making big waves on the Jewish scene, on the world scene. And sometimes our contributions are much more modest, are much more private. Moshe Rabbeinu, most of his life was private. He was serving Hashem as a private individual. And that is what we're here in the world to do. We're supposed to be private people serving Hashem with anibus, with tznius. And if it happens to be that we are chosen in one way or another to contribute in a more public way, so be it. But our job is not to look for that. To be successful as a Jew, to be successful as a person, doesn't mean I'm changing the world. It means that I'm serving Hashem in whatever arena that ends up being, if it's private or public. I think is important. Just the idea that most of Moshe Rabbeinu's life was private, and he ended up being, after 80 years old, the most important person in Jewish and world history. Because successful means you're doing what Hashem wants, and that can be different things at different times and different for different people. Second of all, I think what's important about this Ramban is just having the proper perspective of what it means to understand what the Torah is. The Ramban is telling us both in terms of when the Torah repeats in Akdama and when the Torah omits in these places that we have to appreciate the Torah is not a history book. And I think that what makes the Ramban, I don't know if it's unique or not, but to me it's a little bit unique, is the Hakdamas show the Ramban is always thinking to himself, what's the message here? Like, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me? Not only in each pasuk, in each perek, but in terms of Sfarim. Well, there are five Sfarim, meaning Mustama, there's a message there. No, we don't want it to be too long, so we divided it up and had gaps in the Sefer Torah. No, Mustama, there's a message here. There's a message about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us as people. And therefore, the Ramban, with that perspective, is able to come up with both Perushim. Hashem wants us to know that there's this idea called Galus, and in order to be, for whatever reason, prepared to be the people that's going to serve Hashem, we have to go down and then come back up and get back to that point where Hashem's Shechina is upon us. And therefore, to think about, therefore, what's the message of repeating the names at the beginning of Shemos? And the Ramban says, the Torah is here to tell us the message of the Jewish people and their Shibut and their Geula. And therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu did in those 52, 58 years is really not important. It's important for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of their relationship, but it's not important for us as a Jewish people. And therefore, both in terms of repetition and an omission, the Ramban says you have to have the perspective that the Torah is meant to teach us about what our point is in this universe, what we're supposed to be doing as people, as Ovdei Hashem, and not necessarily as history. Okay, Adkan.